Well, Vineyard Church North Phoenix, how are you guys doing today? Are you doing good? Man, whether you're joining us online or in person, I'm so excited that you chose to join us today. I think that was a great decision. I hope you're already experiencing God's presence in church today. Now, if you're a guest or maybe this is your first time, let me introduce myself. My name is James. I'm one of the pastors here. And if you're a regular attender, you're probably used to seeing me on stage every weekend, either singing or playing an instrument, something like that. But what you may not know is that one of my main responsibilities here at the Vineyard is I oversee all of our social media, you know, Facebook, Instagram, that sort of thing. And don't tell Pastor Brian. But what that mostly means is that I spend my day looking at cat memes. What would you do? Now, social media can be kind of a weird place. I think the jury is still out on whether it's a good thing or not. But one of the things that I love about social media is that you get kind of an insight into other people's lives that maybe you wouldn't have if you didn't have social media. You know, sometimes it's too much insight. You know, there's a lot of oversharing that happens, but it is nice to see kind of how other people live their lives, what they're doing, what's going on in their house, that kind of thing. And I want to ask you a question really quick. Have you noticed this? I've noticed this, that this year, everyone seems extra Christmassy. Is it just me? Some of you are listening to Christmas music before Halloween. Now, by a show of hands, and let me know online in the chat, how many of you already have your Christmas tree up? Let me see, how many of you? Like, come on, extra Christmassy this year, right? And I love it. There's no judgment here. I love it because it's kind of like we, as a human race, we just collectively decided that, you know what? 2020 sucks. And I deserve Christmas cheer, and I deserve it now. Can I get an amen? Come on. We love Christmas. And since it's the first weekend of December, I thought it wouldn't be too cheeky if I gave a festive message this weekend. Is that okay? You know, it's important for us to be spiritually ready for Christmas. So if you have a Bible with you, please turn to Luke chapter 2. We're going to look at two stories today. One starts verse 25, one starts verse 36. But before we get into the message, I quickly want to pray that God would speak to us, and I also want to pray for our offering. You know, there's lots of ways that we can give to God through the church, and those are on the screens. The way that I personally do it is I automate my giving. You know, I'm lazy and kind of forgetful, so it's nice just to have peace of mind that I'm always going to be giving God the first portion of my income. And you know, I also wanted to take a minute to thank those of you who faithfully give to God through the church. You know, when you do that, that's really facilitating all of the ministry that happens here at Vineyard Church North Phoenix. You know, whether that's our food bank that's open 7 days a week, or our Thanksgiving food basket giveaway that happened a couple weeks ago, and we gave away food to like 800 families. We couldn't do those things if it wasn't for your faithfulness. So thank you, thank you, thank you. It really means a lot. Will you pray with me? Jesus, I thank you that we can meet with you and hear from you today. Would you open our hearts and our minds to whatever it is that you want to say today? Would you speak to us? And would you bless us, Lord, as we give back to you? Would you use those monies to bless not only our local community, but people all around the world? We trust you with what we have. And Jesus, it's in your powerful name that we pray. Amen. So as we approach the Christmas season, I think most of us have an I ought to have list in their minds. You know, an I ought to have list. You know, this list contains things like, I ought to have a happy family. I ought to be married. I ought to have kids. I ought to have better behaved kids. That one's a little bit too real. I ought to love my family. I ought to love my weird extended family. I ought to love my friends. I ought to have lots of presents this year. I ought to have lots of money to buy all the presents that I ought to have this year. You know, I ought to have a great job so I can make all that money, so I can buy all the presents that I ought to have this year. You know, it's the way that we think our lives ought to look. And this list can actually work against us when the holidays come, because when you think about that list, you know, you inevitably feel Like your life doesn't have some of that stuff. And then you feel ripped off. You know, you feel that way all year long. But during the holidays, and especially around Christmas time, it gets even worse. For example, people who are divorced say to themselves, Christmas is for people whose family is intact. People without a job and those who are financially struggling say, Christmas is for people who can buy presents. People who are struggling in their family say, Christmas is for people who have a good family. You know, not for someone like me. My family's kind of messed up. You know, unmarried people say, Christmas is for married people. Infertile people say, Christmas is for people with kids. Older people say, Christmas is for younger people. And the list, it goes on and on and on, because we all feel, at least at times, that if we don't have our life the way that it ought to be, then we're kind of disqualified from Christmas. It's like the whole world is throwing a party, but I'm not invited. And that list can even work against us if you do have a lot of those things. You know, when you do have a lot of that stuff, you begin to think that that's what Christmas is all about. Now, thankfully, most of us in this room realize that there's more to Christmas than that list. But even though that's true, this list is really going to pull on our lives over the next few weeks or so, and our lives are going to get so packed with all this stuff that Christmas may come and Christmas may go. And maybe spiritually, Christmas isn't going to mean very much to us this year, because this kind of stuff just takes over and it overwhelms our Christmas a lot of the time. You know what I mean? So, who is Christmas really for? If you have all that stuff, is that when you have Christmas? If you don't have that stuff, does that mean that you're disqualified from Christmas? We're going to look at those questions from a biblical view, and we're going to do that by looking at the lives of two lesser-known characters from the Christmas narrative. We're going to look at Simeon, and we're going to look at Anna. So this is from the book of Luke, starting on chapter 2, verse 25. It says this: At that time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout and was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him and had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. You know, that day, the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord as the law required, Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace as you have promised. I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people Israel. Now, Simeon was a very old man. He basically had one foot in the grave. And he's been waiting for one thing. He's been waiting to see the Messiah before he dies. He's waiting for the one that for hundreds of years people have been waiting for. The Israelites believed that God would send somebody to deliver them, and that somebody was the Messiah. And God had told Simeon that Simeon would not die until he saw the Messiah. So Mary and Joseph bring their little 8-day-old baby Jesus into the temple to have him circumcised, as the law required. And when Simeon sees this baby, God said to him, that's the one. That's the Messiah. So Simeon goes over to the baby, takes the baby in his arms and says, I am holding salvation in my arms. I can now die in peace. A man who basically had nothing had Christmas that year. Now let me introduce you to Anna. Same chapter, we're going to start on verse 36. It says this: Anna, a prophet, was also there in the temple. She was the daughter of Phanuel from the tribe of Asher, and she was very old. Her husband died when they had been married only 7 years. Then she lived as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but stayed there day and night, worshiping God with fasting and prayer. She came along just as Simeon was talking with Mary and Joseph, and she began praising God. She talked about the child to everyone who had been waiting expectantly for God to rescue Jerusalem. Now, because of the culture in that day, Anna had probably been married, you know, in her teenage years. That was perfectly normal back then. And then the Bible tells us that her husband lived for only 7 years of their marriage, and then he died. So Anna was a widow for the rest of her life, and she was 84 years old in this story. And that means that there's a good chance that she was, you know, a widow. She was by herself for like 60 years. And in that day, in that culture, women were valued primarily by the man whom they were attached to and the children that they bore. Anna had neither. In that culture, Anna was kind of like a non-person. Yet Anna was in the temple day after day, seeking God and telling other people about God. And when she saw the baby brought into the temple, she went to the baby and her heart was ignited with hope. She went around the whole temple and the whole city telling anybody who would listen. She said to everyone, "This is the one who has come to deliver us. You see, a lady who was almost a non-entity had Christmas that year." And I want us to begin to filter our lives through Simeon and through Anna and the picture of Christmas that the Bible lays out for us. And I want us to do this so that we can really experience Christmas this year. And there are two ways to view what Christmas is really about. You know, one way is this, it's the Christmas that our culture says that we need. And the other way is the Christmas that Jesus came to give. And they're not the same script at all. You know, the Christmas that our culture says we need is pretty much that list that I talked about earlier. It's presents, it's lights, it's happy families, it's married couples, lots of friends, lots of money, great job, no social distancing, I can easily buy toilet paper at the grocery store, it's all those things. Now, there's nothing wrong with that list. You know, there's nothing on that list that's inherently bad. But if you read the Bible, you also know that there's a lot more to Christmas when it's looked at from God's perspective. So what is the Christmas that Jesus came to give? It's about hope. It's about the hope that Anna and Simeon found. It's also about joy. It's a joy that's rooted in Jesus. And it's about giving. God gave to us the most precious thing that he had, his only son. And he came into our world and he gave to people in great need. And so Christmas, from God's perspective, is us joining with God in giving to those in need. That's the Christmas that Jesus came to give. So those are two very different pictures of what Christmas is all about. You know, the Christmas that our culture says we need and the Christmas that Jesus came to give. If you want to think about them in terms of Christmas carols, it's like this. The Christmas that our culture says that you need is the Christmas song, "Santa Claus is Coming to Town." Does anyone know that song? Does anyone know Santa Claus? Will you come and sing it for us? Will you come and sing? No? Okay, that's fine. The Christmas that Jesus came to give is the Christmas carol, "O Come, Let Us Adore Him." Two very different songs. And yet we live in a world that throws both of them at us, and we have to make our way through them. So you might be thinking at this point, so how do I have the Christmas that Jesus came to give? Well, a good place to start is to read the Christmas story and focus on what the characters didn't have. We just read about Simeon and Anna, and they pretty much had nothing. And yet, they had Christmas because they got to Jesus. Or think about Mary and Joseph. You know, their reputation was trash because, you know, they're living with a pregnancy that they can't explain, and they're living in a culture where that's a huge deal. They're also homeless. They're on the road giving birth to their firstborn child in a barn. And they're very quickly going to become refugees, chased by King Herod, who wants to kill them and kill their son Jesus. Or think about the shepherds. The shepherds in that day were viewed as sort of the outcasts of society. They were viewed as being like morally suspect, to put it lightly. And I love the fact that they're a part of the Christmas story, because there are people in this room and watching online who think, my life is so messed up. My life is so full of sin that there's no way that Christmas is for me. Is that you? Do you feel that way today? Now, I understand that kind of thinking, but it's not the truth. Listen, if you get to Jesus, then Christmas is for you. Amen? Amen? So how do we have the Christmas that Jesus came to give? First, read the Christmas story and focus on what the characters didn't have. Next, remember whose birthday it is and do the stuff that he loves. I've got a quick question for you. How many of you are parents or grandparents to a child or children under the age of 10? Maybe you have siblings that age, maybe you have friends with children that age. So quite a few of us, right? How many of you have been subjected to a birthday party at a place like Chuck E. Cheese? It's like the worst, right? They're all in kids' church. We can admit it. It's the worst. It's loud. The floor is like incredibly sticky. No one knows why. The pizza tastes like cardboard. And then, like, what's up with, like, the creepy man-sized, like, mouse thing? Terrifying. Right? Thank you. It's the worst. But you know what? Kids love it. And we endure it because it's not our birthday, right? We need to remember whose birthday Christmas really is and do the stuff that Jesus loves. And do you know what Jesus loves to do? One of the things Jesus loves to do is hang out with his friends. And this room is full of the friends of Jesus. And I want to remind you that Jesus loves to hang out with you. He loves it. And so I want to encourage you to talk to the birthday boy more than you normally would during this Christmas season. I want to encourage you to pray. If this is a tough Christmas for you, if this is going to be a lean Christmas for you, don't let what you don't have take away from what you can have. Talk to Jesus a little bit more than you normally would. Read his Christmas card to you, the Bible. Read it more than you normally would. You know, if you have one of those families that's not easy to be around during the holidays, treat them the way that you think Jesus would have treated them if he was there, because he is. You know, treat your family with love and acceptance and do these things because it's his birthday, it's not your birthday. So how do we have the Christmas that Jesus came to give? Read the Christmas story and focus on what the characters didn't have. Secondly, remember whose birthday it is and do the stuff that he loves. And next, practice gratitude for what you do have. You know, there's something about human nature that when we're missing something that we feel that we should have, that's like all we can focus on. And so we easily forget all of the stuff that we actually do have. And you know what? When we compare ourselves to the rest of the world, we actually have a lot to be grateful for. You know, there's a pastor in a third world country. I heard this story. He's living in a mud brick hut somewhere in the middle of nowhere. And he's got all these little kids running around him. And a guy comes up to him and asks him, "Pastor, how many kids do you have?" The pastor looks at him and replies, "Oh, you know, I have 8 kids. 5 of them live with me. 3 of them live with Jesus. I am so blessed." You know, that's somebody who knows how to be thankful for what they do have. Practicing gratitude for what we do have is something that helps us to experience God when Christmas doesn't have all the stuff that we hope that it would be. Now, I want to take a moment, and I want to speak to those of you who do have a lot of things that our culture says that we need for Christmas. You know, maybe you're asking yourself, well, how do I have the Christmas that Jesus came to give when I already have the Christmas our culture says that I need? You know, we have to make the main thing the main thing. There's nothing wrong or bad about having all of these things that our culture says that Christmas is about. There's nothing wrong with that. But we just have to make sure that we keep the main thing the main thing. And how do you think that we do that? First of all, make sure you slow down and take enough time to read the Christmas story until you're really engaging with it, until you feel it. If you're not sure where that is in the Bible, it's the first couple chapters of the book of Matthew and the book of Luke. Next, take some time to really pray and thank God for the joy and the hope of Jesus. And also thank God for the blessings that he's given you. You know, try to let the person of Jesus really govern how you treat the people in your family and on social media, especially during the Christmas season. You know, one of the things that may help you to do this is to serve some people who are maybe less fortunate than you. You know, maybe volunteer to serve at the Angel Tree drive-through that we're having in just a few weeks. You know, Angel Tree is a ministry where we gift presents to children whose parents are incarcerated. Talk about a difficult Christmas. So that's something that sounds interesting to you to serve at. You can get much more information about that and in the lobby. There's a table set up. If you're online, go to our website. Because Christmas is essentially about giving. And when we get involved in giving, that's when we really begin to experience the Christmas that Jesus came to give. The fact is, Christmas doesn't happen until we get to Jesus. Isaiah said it this way: "For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity." That's Jesus. Amen. You know, and that was prophesied by Isaiah 700 years before Jesus was even born. No matter what's going on in your life right now, you need to know that Christmas has come for you, because Christmas is about Jesus. Amen. 2,000 years ago, Jesus left the glory of heaven and was born a baby in a manger. But the real blessing is that Jesus didn't just stay in that manger. He grew up and became a man. And 33 years later, he went to the cross and he gave his life for us so that we would be able to have a relationship with God that lasts forever. Come on, it's almost too good to be true. But listen, listen. If you are a follower of Jesus, he took all of your guilt, he took all of your sin on himself on the cross, and he has set you free. And that is what we need to remember at Christmas. Come on. Will you join me in standing? You know, I asked the band to come out and lead us in a song called "My Heart Is Yours," because I wanted to take just a moment for us to focus on Jesus through song as we sing to him and worship him. But before we sing together, I wanted to just take 1 minute. You know, our lives are about to be incredibly busy with the Christmas season, if they're not already busy. You know, this year has been insane. And there's just a lot of noise. There's a lot of information coming at us all the time. I ought to have this. I ought to do this. I'm worried about this. So I want to take 1 minute just to focus on Jesus, maybe in silence. You might want to close your eyes to block out any distractions and then pray something like, "Jesus, would you remind me of all that it is that I have to be grateful for? Jesus, would you remind me of all the things that you've done in my life that maybe I don't even notice? So let's take a moment just to focus on Jesus. We'll sing together, and I'll come and close the service.
Sing this out. I lay down my life. I take up my cross. Jesus. For you are my God. Whatever the cost. Jesus. Oh.
Take it all, my life in your hands. Oh, take it all, take it all.
Amen. Will our ministry team please come forward? You know, here at the Vineyard, we love to pray for people. And if you're joining us online and you want to receive prayer today, make sure you click the request prayer button. It could be about anything. Maybe something came up, God reminded you of something in the sermon that you wanted to receive prayer for. Maybe it's something completely unrelated to that. And if you want to receive prayer in person, we have a ministry team that's going to be down in the front. There's going to be all kinds of social distancing. But we want to make sure that you receive prayer if you need it. And as I said, we love to pray for people here at the Vineyard for whatever reason. But just as I was praying and preparing for the services this weekend, I felt like God was highlighting three groups of people that maybe need to receive prayer today. The first group of people is people who are tired to their bones from 2020. You know, this year has been very difficult for a lot of us. But for some of you, it kind of feels like you're hanging on by a thread. So if you feel like you're just tired to your bones because of this year, then come and receive prayer today. You can come now, you can come at the end of service, it doesn't really matter. But make sure that you don't leave today without getting prayed for. The second group of people that God highlighted to me was anyone who is particularly stressed about Christmas coming up. You know, maybe this is going to be a lean year for you. Maybe you do have the kind of family that are just really difficult to be around. And just the thought of Christmas and all that holiday stuff and being together and whatever is just stressing you out and worrying you, and you're just not looking forward to it. So if that's you, receive prayer today. And the last group of people is anyone who wants to have Christmas with Jesus for the very first time. You know, maybe you've heard the Christmas story before and you kind of know, you know, this Jesus, whatever, I'm still learning about him. And you've maybe been to church a little bit, but you've never really truly given your life to Jesus. But today is the day that you fully commit and make that decision to him. And you can have Christmas with Jesus for the very first time this year. So if that's you, we would love to know. Come forward, speak to a ministry team member, and we'll pray for you, okay? Now I'm gonna bless us and pray for us and then end the service. Will you pray with me? Jesus, I thank you for all that we do have to be grateful for. I thank you that you are always with us. And would you remind us this week, Lord, that Christmas is all about you. Focus our hearts and our minds on you, Jesus, as we celebrate your coming. So would you bless us, Lord? Would you be with us? Jesus, it's in your powerful name that we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. Say hi to someone on the way out, and then we'll see you next week. Thanks.